If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sippel.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Third hour, as always, sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check them out today at concreteindustries.com or at NEBCOinc.com. We're joined by Sean Callahan to start off the 8 o'clock hour. Sean, good morning. It is now the TJ Lateef show for Nebraska quarterback as they try to get past the woes that they've had in November for a couple of years. How different will this offense look under him this week and going forward, Sean?
Well, I think obviously you start with things like the RPO and the run pass option, and there's going to be more of a true threat of a run there, where I don't think opposing defenses really respected the run option there. So I think that alone right there, when you look at what TJ can do with his mobility and his legs, you know, it gives this offense a lot more options just in that element alone. And then, you know, scramble plays because, you know, I'd imagine his reads are going to be pretty simple. Maybe one or two quick reads. And if it's not there, as you heard Matt Rhule say, you probably take off and run. So I do think they're going to create just an additional piece to this offense that we haven't seen just with that QB mobility. And I think you're going to have to make up for what you're going to lose probably with some of the arm talent that Dylan Raiola brought with some of those the consistency on those intermediate throws that he was so good at making.
Will Lateef's presence enhance Emmett Johnson's numbers or detract from them?
I think it could actually help, especially if they were able to put in some sort of zone read stuff and what they do. Sorry, guys, there's somebody at my door here coming in, so I'm going to...
Somebody at your door?
Try to explain
it's
to them.
Probably Amazon delivering some stuff.
Is it Amazon?
Is it Amazon delivering presents?
No, it's somebody, people come here for some work at our house. But
oh, so you're building an addition on, so yeah. Things are going
the
well.
The estate.
So you have someone coming there. That's interesting.
This is live radio, the beauty of live radio.
Yes, okay, so the house is expanding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a it's bathroom going well. Job, yeah.
Marble.
Yeah. Marble, yep. It'll be like a Vegas-style bathroom.
Brass and marble. Mm-hmm.
Brass and marble.
Yes.
Is there a TV in the bathroom?
Is there?
No.
One of those TV in the mirrors?
My Vegas bathroom at the, where do we stay at, Sipple? Aria. It had
the
a TV
Aria.
In the bathroom.
It did. Yeah. Well, full disclosure, Sean stayed in a suite.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was upgraded.
Yeah, you were upgraded.
Upgraded to a suite, and Steve wasn't.
I was not in a suite.
Were you down at the old Golden Nugget down in Old Vegas?
No.
Okay.
We're at the Aria.
Okay.
It was beautiful. Okay. Now, hold on. Okay, Sean, this is a big picture question, so settle in. How does Dylan's injury affect your expectations for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, I think it definitely, you have to put it into perspective. It does. I mean, the offensive line situation, the Dylan situation, hopefully Pritchett's back out there. But I think we need to see what this game looks like with Lateef. I mean, is it going to be a disaster or is it going to look promising? I mean, can they make it, how manageable can they make the situation, I guess is what I'm getting at. And until we see a full game plan around TJ and what Dana Holgorsen can do, because, you know, I think that Dylan Raiola had a lot of autonomy to kind of make checks and reads and do things in the line of scrimmage. You're not going to be able to do that with TJ Lateef. He's going to have to be kind of given everything and be able to operate it. So what will that look like game one on the road? Luckily, he's not going into a hostile deal. I mean, it'd be nerve-wracking if you were putting Lateef out at, like, say, Minnesota at night, what we saw a couple weeks ago in Minneapolis. That'd be hard for a freshman to navigate that, but I think this will be a little bit more manageable for him, knowing that there's going to be 25,000 Husker fans probably in the stadium. But then from there, you go on the road. What's the mindset of Penn State on November 22nd? Where is that program at that point? Are they still playing for bowl eligibility? They've got to beat Michigan State, essentially, then if they do, which they should or could, then, you know, beating Nebraska, then I believe their last game after that, they'd be favored and they could get to 6-6. So what's the motivation of Penn State when Nebraska goes out there to possibly maybe get to a bowl and play one more game? There's a lot of what ifs, but I think it starts Saturday and what this looks like.
I'm not reading a lot of media these days for a variety of reasons, but my sense is that we sort of undersell the fact Nebraska on defense ranks 13th nationally in total defense. Is that how do you look at that, Sean? That's a pretty good number, right?
Yeah, it's solid. I mean, I think some of it though is the nature of what the Big Ten is. I mean, you're playing less snaps.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And the style of a Big Ten game, there's less drives, there's less plays. But Nebraska, what they've done is they've been pretty good at not, especially at the pass. They're not allowing big pass plays. And, you know, they have allowed the big runs at times, but they've done a very good job of limiting the deep, explosive pass plays. In fact, very few and far between. I mean, what have they only allowed? 3 passing touchdowns on the season.
I think that's right.
Which is good for second in the country. So I think you have to really tip your hat. The way they played USC, I mean, USC is the number 2 offense in the country.
Right.
And they played well to the point where, you know, USC had the gadget play and a couple of things that they had to do differently to get yardage, but they weren't throwing the ball on Nebraska. And they had one of the best throwing offenses in the country. So I do think this secondary is the real deal. And I thought the USC game might have really solidified that with how they played, to force kind of USC completely out of what they wanted to do.
I'm going to ask a question that has no answer, but I just want to just comment. Third down, Nebraska is on third down, Nebraska is the 24th best team in the country. In the red zone, the defense is 126th. Why are they so good on third down and so bad in the red zone? That doesn't square up in my mind.
Are you talking about red zone efficiency, like points allowed or touchdowns?
Yeah, points allowed.
Quarterback runs have hurt them. Yeah. I mean, they've given up 8 quarterback rushing touchdowns. 8.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what the number would be for tailbacks, but the quarterback run has hurt them at times. And, you know, majority of the touchdowns they've given up have been from the QB. So I think that's hurt them at times. They've gotten some back-breaking penalties, too, where it's a pass interference or holding.
Yep.
In the red zone areas where they get really aggressive and they get called on. I mean, there's been a few different factors in there, but they're still not giving up a lot of points. I mean, I feel, you know, the Maryland game was kind of the one where I did feel like Washington had them on their heels a little bit on defense at times, their quarterback for Maryland. You know, that's the one quarterback that's really actually thrown it on them very well. But, yeah, I think the quarterback run game in general has been kind of an issue. Especially when they get down in that red zone area.
Good answer.
Well, on that note, Sean, Nico Iamaleava, the quarterback for UCLA, leads their team in rushing yards. He's 81 carries in the season. He's, of course, has been really good since they've had new leadership. I mean, it's been a problem all year for Nebraska. How do they shore it up here against Nico?
Yeah, you got to be ready for it. They're coming off a bye week. He's rested. You heard John Butler and the coaches say this week, hey, you know, they kind of pulled back his running load because it was almost getting to be too much. But, you know, you never know now off a bye because they're also thinking bowl game, this UCLA staff. I mean, they're an interim staff, and they're fighting week to week for their job. And, you know, they've got a chance. If they're going to get to 6 wins, they've got to win this game against Nebraska. And, you know, all hands will be on deck for them But you know, you think about this, for them to get to a bowl game, I think they have to go 6-3 in the Big Ten, which is a pretty remarkable record because they went 0-3, right? Except in the non-conference. So, I mean, a 6-3 record, I mean, hell, some years you're damn near a playoff team if you can go. And they do have some tough games remaining, UCLA down the stretch. So I think they're going to be very aggressive, knowing that they have to have this win if there's any chance of them getting to a bowl game.
8 p.m. kickoff at the Rose Bowl. What kind of scene? You're really good at, Sean's really good at vibe scene questions. What are you expecting?
Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I mean, you just study the history of Nebraska when they've gone out to UCLA, 93, 2012, the 0-1 game. Every time we've been out to the Rose Bowl, this will be our fourth trip in recent history. I know there was one out there in the 80s before my time when they played a series out there in the 80s. Was that Steve Taylor back then, Sip?
Yes, I think so.
Troy Aikman, Steve Taylor, that around that era. But every time we've been out there in you know, 93 on, there's been 25,000 Nebraska fans.
Okay.
And I see no reason not to believe that's going to happen because of the fan base in Phoenix, the fan base in Vegas, the fan base in the Southern California and the Northern California area. And you know, Coach Bush can attest to that. I mean, he recruited those areas in Vegas and Phoenix. There are Husker fans everywhere in those parts, and they'll all drive in for this game. And hotels aren't an issue because you're in L.A. There's hotels everywhere around the city. And so, yeah, I do think this is teed up for a invasion of red. And people have been planning this one. And it's going to be 82 degrees on Saturday in Pasadena.
Wow.
We might see Sipple in some shorts.
Short pants.
Might see a Kardashian.
Ooh, that'd be great.
That would be awesome.
Particularly the middle one.
We've made a selection. Wow. Made a selection on which Kardashian. Okay.
Sean, do you expect Nebraska outnumber UCLA then? Is this going to be more Nebraska fans than UCLA fans?
I think so. And you know, the student element of it too, they're not going to get a lot of students there. You know, they're about an hour from campus.
Mm-hmm.
So, 82 degrees Saturday in L.A., you're not going to get probably a lot of kids that will go out there, is my prediction, at least right now. So, yeah, the red, I think it will be one of those, like, everyone gets their cell phone camera, is out and takes pictures and tweets them because it's going to be that much red in the stadium.
And, okay, as far as the offensive line goes back to kind of nuts and bolts, you expect Pritchett to start at left tackle and Corcoran to start at right?
I think that's the plan, and I would say this. Yesterday, that was a very promising report that he practiced.
Pritchett at
left tackle, and he was back available. So that was big. I think you and I both were just, you know, just surprised to hear the report on Gunnar Gatula. We had nobody had any idea that, you know, whatever he got injured with against Minnesota was a season-ending deal. But that was quite a surprise development. So when you take Prochazka and you take Getula out of it, and then you have Pritchett nicked up, that's three of your top five tackles at that point, which has gotten Preston Taumua in a position where he's kind of the next man up now.
How about that? Preston Taumua has sort of entered the conversation along with Grant Bricks. So Bricks would be the right tackle if it got down to that, and Taumua would be the left tackle if it got down to that. Redshirt freshman.
Yeah. And Taumua was highly recruited. I never looked at him as a true tackle body. He's a very athletic guy, but that's where they're at right now. I mean, they've got to get him ready to go, get Grant Bricks just in case. But you hope if Pritchett can give them a full game, this offense will be fine, I think, up front. And they'll be able to make this work. And the mobility of Latif hopefully will help to, you know, shore up any thing up front, because I think he can avoid some of the rush.
Sean, I don't know. Now, here's the thing about that line. It's been a tricky conversation. They're obviously doing a good job run blocking. But you heard Dana Holgorsen ask, I was hoping you heard this, when he was asked about Barney not getting the ball. He said, well, a lot of it is just we don't protect long enough to get these guys the ball downfield. Bam! That's what I always tell you. We always get these conversations about Dylan. Well, he holds the ball. No, yeah, he maybe holds the ball a little bit. He's waiting for guys to get open that never get open because the routes take too long to develop.
Well, and the frustrating thing is it's not like teams are always blitzing either.
No.
This could be just four-man rushes coming their way.
It drives me nuts. So they have been okay in run. They have been good in run blocking, obviously, but they don't protect long enough.
Well, and then the safeties.
Don't look at me like that.
I'm not.
Watch the thing to watch early in this game is what will UCLA do with their safeties? Will they play him up on Latif, or will they play him back? I mean, Dylan Raiola played with multiple center fielders every game, where he didn't have a lot of deep throwing opportunities. Nobody won. I mean, everybody was smart enough to say, yeah, we're not letting this guy throw deep on us. Okay. And we didn't really, we knew that we could, control them enough up front. We're not worried about him as a runner. I think how they defend Latif and how they adjust to him will be something to watch in this game.
Yeah, Sean, if they move the safeties, this is a Bill conversation. If they move the safeties up, how does that affect Emmett Johnson? He's benefited from two high safeties a lot.
Well, Emmett Johnson leads the nation in 10-plus, or leads the conference with 28 10-plus yard runs. Has not been able to get a lot of runs beyond 15 yards. He's gotten a few, but that's how you break one. I mean, if the safeties are playing up further, some of those 10 to 15-yard runs could become home runs.
Yeah, I've Sean, Bill Bush, 93.7, The Ticket, talked about one of the pluses of Latif playing that gave him some time in a big-time game. Also the plus for UCLA that they got to see him. So now it's going to be they'll have a little bit of prep time on him to have preparation for him like that. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that what they showed in the game this past week, they'll run some of that again. But I have to think that they're coming out with a bunch of new concepts with him that they've put in this week that make more sense. I just don't know how you could have had a full plate ready for him against USC, like you're going to have this week. I think this week you're just going to see a much more prepared TJ Latif and a more tailored game plan for him. Where last week, obviously, the game plan was built for Dylan. But I would have to think RPO is going to be a big part of this. And just giving him that run-pass option to do a lot of different things with the football. And, this game's going to mean a lot to the kid. He's going to be home playing in Los Angeles. So you hope that he's up for it, and you get the sense the guys like him. Damon Benning said that last night on Big Red Wrap Up that the players like TJ, and I think are wanting to give him an opportunity to win this game.
Read option. How much read option do we see?
Yeah, it's a great question because I don't know how much Dana has run in his career. I mean, can they put a few of those elements in, but I think you have to. I mean, Nebraska gets killed on it every week. They've got a guy now that can do it. Why don't you run some of it here too? Not every play, but I do think you've got to have some different elements to help Emmett, because if you're very predictable, then it's gonna be hard for Emmett. I just think if the quarterback's able to do more mobility wise, Emmett's gonna really benefit from that, and hopefully that can lead to a big play here or there.
Hypothesis football. Nebraska goes 4-0, and they play incredible. They beat Iowa at home. They go to a New Year's Day bowl game. They win that bowl game. Latif plays great. What does that mean?
Question.
What's it mean?
What's it mean, Sean?
Yeah, what's that mean? Because that question's out there. What happens? He comes out, he plays great. Mm-hmm. Team rolls. They win four in a row. They upset Iowa. And now they're playing New Year's Day. They win that game.
What now? What?
Now what happens?
Yeah, then some real conversations get, you know, you start to think, yeah, the money. I mean, how you got a lot of money invested in Raiola. The market for Latif's going to go up. So that's where the general manager has to really figure out the plan here and what you're going to do. But you're right, Coach. I mean, what if Latif comes out and looks great and has a lot of promise shown? That does makes for great talk radio.
It's a great problem. It does, great talk radio. It's a great problem because right in Nebraska, yeah, that'd be really cool. We'll take that. We'll take four great games in a row, right? We're voting for that.
Back in the day, you just say, okay, great. Now we have a quarterback competition. Yeah. Now the money complicates it, right? Yeah. Right.
Well, TJ Latif, like, the next 4 or 5 weeks could make him a millionaire.
That's true.
Yeah. Jeez.
No, that's true. There's things that are out there.
Now that you
Who
mention
wants to
it.
Be a millionaire.
And you're at a position that you only play one. Ohio State last year had two incredible running backs. They're like, no, this is good
play
for
both.
You. This is good for you because you'll have more tread on the tire when you're at the NFL. You're not, you know, you're going to carry the ball 11, 12 times a game. When you get to the NFL, you'll be fresh and you're going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback, that's not how it works.
No. Sean, always great good stuff. Enjoy your travels out west. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Great stuff.
Husker Outline, Sean Callahan.
I'm sorry I got loose on that topic of the protection, but it's very...
Yeah, you did get loose.
It's very... I'm passionate about it. And Dana said it yesterday.
It was said in the press conference.
We don't protect long enough to get the ball to Ja'Cory Barney.
Bam. What do you think that bathroom's going to look like?
Sean's bathroom?
Gold toilet,
zero bidet?
Not a North Lincoln bathroom. Yeah. That's what it'll look like.
not a 70th and Adams?
No. No. When we come back, Penn State is setting history Buffy's in the buffet. Wrong way. We'll tell you what that means next and really breaking the ticket.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.